Welcome everybody to this ordinary meeting of Circle Tablelands Water. This meeting I would like to pay my respects to the Wiradjuri people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we're meeting today, pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I'd also like to note that this meeting is being audio recorded. The audio recording is not the official record of this meeting, the official record is the minutes. Anything you say may be recorded and you should therefore take care of what you say. Turning to the agenda, apologies, do we have any apologies?
Councillor Durkin.
Councillor Durkin, so I'd like to move that be accepted. Councillor Best, seconded. Councillor Newstead, Councillor Benbrick jumped in there. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Confirmation of minutes from the previous meeting. Those minutes have been circulated. Has anyone got someone to move they be accepted as the correct record? Councillor Benbrick, seconded Councillor Best. Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Next item on the agenda, disclosures of interest. Do we have any disclosures of interest?
No, Mr. Chairman.
No one has an interest to disclose. We'll move on. Public forum. I think we have no public forum.
That's correct.
We'll move on. The chairman's minute. There's no chairman's minute today. Councillor representation. Anyone got any representation to record? I haven't worked out what I've done, but
we'll get to that.
I'll let the general manager know when I've worked that out. Notice of motion. Do we have any notices of motion?
No
notices of motion. This is a pretty quick agenda so far. We're down to 11 out of 14. Reports of staff. This is when we get into the substance of the meeting. First report is number one, strategic planning workshop. It's a report from the general manager on progress towards our strategic workshop next week. Someone like to move the recommendation? Councillor Newstead, seconded Councillor Walker. Anyone have any questions in relation to that? We've all received notice. We've all been asked to comment on the agenda and some of the background papers. I hope those who want to have taken that opportunity. Any other questions at this stage?
No. And just to Mr. Chairman, just a reminder, the workshop is next Thursday at the Darrow Spivey Centre in Blaney, filtration plant. We've got at this stage around 23 participants coming. So, being facilitated by Risk Edge Annette Davidson. And there will be a discussion. The discussion paper will be sent out at the end of this week, so it's ready to go and will be issued out to all attendees, all participants. So we look forward to everyone being there and reviewing the outcomes of the strategies from our 2018 workshop and working on new strategies moving forward.
Yeah, this is a particularly important workshop. We don't get an opportunity very often to workshop most councils, and this is a fantastic one for us all to get together. And I think we've invited the constituent councils, the GMs and mayors.
Yes, that's correct, to come along. And we've also got Graham Abra coming along, who is the Chief Operating Officer of DPIE Water, and Aaron Cheney, who's the Director of the Town Water Risk Reduction Program. So that's, great to have them coming along. I spoke with both of them on Monday. I was in Sydney at a meeting with the County Council GMs, and they're very much looking forward to attending our workshop. But not David, it's Grant.
Councillor Best.
I haven't looked at the briefing on it yet, but I just wondered if we're going to have time to talk about the impacts with the Lake Rollins project, where we're up to with the. It's a good time to talk about that as well, and where we're up to with it and what we see in the future of that one.
That'll be a big part of the strategic workshop. Yeah. So and the benefits of that for not only for us obviously but for the region. So
yeah, just well, we'll get everyone, the councils, you know, again, and mayors in there, it's a good time to really just and bring it out.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that, Councillor Best. I think we've got nothing on our agenda today other than incidentally through the long term plan in relation to progress with that particularly important project. Any more questions? Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Two, the review of the development servicing plan, which has been circulated separately to councillors. Someone like to move the recommendation?
I'd love to.
Yes, Councillor Bessett has jumped to the opportunity, and Councillor Benbrick has equally jumped but slightly slower to second the recommendation. Would you like to say anything just as we're on background to this, Gow? I know we've been waiting a long time to get this finalised.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chairman. It has been a long time in the making to get this draft finally finished to go on public display for a 42-day period now in accordance with the guidelines. As I've said in my report, the guidelines changed since 2016, the guidelines were updated. Our previous DSP was based on the 2002 guidelines, and that was our latest one, our existing one was 2013. As a result of those guideline changes, and the calculation method had changed, and resulting in our DSP per ET coming down by $3,200. Which brings it down to $6,211 per ET across the board. So we've also put in there, you'll see that later on in Peter's report in the financial and the operational report, with regards to Quandiella, because the growth is zero in Quandiella, that we won't have a DSP. We've been advised we don't need a DSP for Quandiella unless there is growth in the future, and we will develop one then. However, in our fees and charges, we've recommended a capital contribution charge for any new connections in the Quandiella area to help fund any future works to renew that system in Quandi. So, so apart from that, it's good to get this. We've been in consultation with DPIA Water to get this finalised, this draft finalised, and as I said, it'll now go on public display for 42 days to receive any public submissions and comments with the view of putting it to the June meeting for adoption.
My comment would be I think it's terrific. I think the results from it are really good. I agree with, increasing the cost of the infill blocks. I think that makes sense. It's no matter where they are, it's an impost on our system, on the water. I think that's a really good result from that. And I think same thing, decreasing it down to a more manageable level, I suppose, but also it doesn't, overall, I didn't think it had a massive impact on CTW's financials. So we did lose a bit, we decreased those by 34% in the long term. It hasn't. Hopefully it encourages a few more people to connect to our system and we can get a bit more, rates, from them off in the future sort of thing. So I think it's a great result.
And as you said, with that infill charge, we have increased that from around 4,000 up to that 6,000 mark to have that flat fee. And the chairman may recall back a few years ago that we did raise, that was raised a while ago, and however it didn't proceed. Council decided not to go that way at that time, and so it would be good to bring that in mind in our order of the charge.
Yes, I think on one of my first meetings at the council, it may have been in Grenfell actually, when originally equating the infill block charge with the DSP, there was a sunset date under which they were both going to come to the same amount. That sunset date arrived, and council at the time proposed that in fact the discounted rate for infill blocks be continued, and that split the council 3-3. last imperative of then chairman, the special concession continued. So it's now been a while before it's come up again, and I agree, as I did previously, I agree this time as well, that it makes a lot of sense to have the two charges the same. I think also earlier in the year, I can raise this because I was perhaps a little conscious of the fact that it has taken us a long while to adopt this plan, and given that there is quite a significant reduction in the amount, I think we decided, as a matter of fact, whether this is on the record as a resolution or not, but we decided that at least in the current financial year, we should do some sort of rebate to developers who've paid the higher amount back to what the amount, if this plan is adopted. We'll fix the rate out, I don't know.
Recall that after our last financial plan that was put up, that was raised during that process, and that would be a recommendation going to the June meeting, considering all feedback from this DSP. I'll put a recommendation forward to councillors saying from the 1st of July last year, 2020, any connections that have been taken up by developers that would be reimbursed the difference between what they paid to, and that would be for obviously the council's consideration. Seeing that it's taken a long period of time to adopt this, we've had this under review for a while.
Yeah. We're not actually adopting it today, so we're actually.
No, that's right, we've been covered this way to be.
I agree with the way that will be handled. We can debate it then. Okay, any more questions? Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Now we get to an item of some substance, the demand management report, not that the previous ones were of substance. The recommendation, of course, this follows various workshops we had and lots of debates we've had at previous council meetings about the water restriction levels in particular. There's a recommendation before you. Would someone like to move the recommendation?
I'll move to an amendment.
Possibly with an amendment. Would you like to mention what your amendment is?
Because I've been one of the ones that, probably the only one that's really pushed for the level zero or no restrictions above 95%, maybe 90. Number three there, I don't think that we need to have that one in there. Giving them an exemption to do it. If you want to do it when it's above 90% or above 95%. I don't think we need number three in there. I still think it's a little bit confusing to have a level one there when the only real restriction that we have now is that you're not allowed to wash down hard surfaces or warps. So if you're going to allow that, I still think there should be a no restriction period, say even above 95%. When what level does level two come in at?
70%. I'm pretty sure it's 70%. Yeah. But just with that too, we have got other restrictions on level one, not water in between 10 o'clock and five. Yeah. So we do have definitions in there for level one restrictions, not just not watering, not.
Okay.
And the other thing, just for level three, Mr. Chairman, level three, Councillor Newstead, recommendation level three. At the moment, we do cater for people applying to council for an exemption. That's not formally written in our restrictions definitions as such, but this would then put that in our restrictions definitions. So to notify people to apply for an exemption to water or wash down hard surfaces. And that way then we can manage that better, because we can put a notification on their account, so if anyone rings up to complain, we can look at their account and see that they have got an exemption. So it makes it easier for us to manage. You're still going to get those consumers that will wash down no matter what, but this is just putting it in or formalising that, I suppose, to provide that as an option.
Before we move on to the formal recommendation, maybe just worthwhile clarifying what we're talking about here. as I read it, the recommendation really would have level one with sort of level 1A, level 1B. The level from anything, the dam above 90%, level 1A has an automatic permission to wash down hard surfaces. If the dam falls below 90%, but still in level 1 because it hasn't got to 70%, we've got level 1B, which is level 1A, but you can't automatically wash down hard surfaces, you need a permission. So that's us.
Yep.
So we're really creating two subcategories of level 1.
Well, I'm happy that they're allowing people to wash down their walls and paths above 90%. I just think, as the chairman just said, that it could become a little bit confusing with 1A and 1B. Anyway, look, I'm happy because I think people are going to do it anyway. But if you're not allowed to do it and you do it, then you feel guilty.
Yeah.
But. Well, I'm happy with this, but I just think it might be a bit confusing.
Just getting, when you mentioned earlier, did you not include paragraph 3?
Well, I just don't, well, I guess it depends on who it is. I'm only sort of thinking about the general public. Like, if you can't wash your walls and that down while the dam's near full, I don't know why you'd want to be doing it when it gets underneath it. I think there should be only a certain amount of time that you're allowed to do it when the dam's not. Well, I don't think you should be washing paths and footpaths and walls and that down when it's below 90% or even 95%. But I think there should be a period, a small window, where you can do it, and I think that's when the dam's almost full.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, just provide you with an example, Councillor Newstead. We have people from time to time that are selling out their homes or painting, repairing their homes, and that could be any time during the year, whether the late bronze at 90% or 50%. So they've requested in the past that they can have an exemption to wash down, prepare for, say, paint work or repair work, which, based on those cases, we've granted that exemption. For a short period of time, an identified period of time, it might be just a weekend or 2 days or whatever it is, and we've granted that exemption through our processes.
But just to make it clear, so at the moment though, you're not allowed to wash down paths or walls without an exemption, really, are you?
That's right. Yeah.
So that's where I want to. So it's a hard one.
So let's bring it. Get it formally before the meeting. Councillor Newstead, are you moving the recommendation as written?
After hearing what the General Manager said with the exemptions, yeah, well, I will move it like that, but it's okay. A bit confusing.
All right. Seconded. Yes, Councillor Walker, seconded. Okay, discussion.
My comment is that we don't forget that what that level one restriction is best practice by DPI. Isn't that what's got our recommendation are from them, is that best practice. We are actually altering, we're going against best practices, so I think this is quite a good, acceptable result, putting a figure in, like I said, having A and B, I think that's a good, acceptable result. The only thing I'm a bit worried about, level 5, dot 0.5, in that I... allowing, I just think the implementation of it is going to be difficult, and I think maybe we need, if further in the document, we will need a bit more clarification on how we're going to implement that. I think that's a very hard thing to say, to restrict in that supply area, how are we going to prove that, and then we have people on selling through water carters and those sorts of things. So I think there needs a bit more clarity in that.
Yeah, in the Wigan, through you, Mr. Chairman, Councillor Best, will you put that in the definitions?
Yeah, in the
that's rather than having that detail in the
yes,
in
no,
it's just I take that
in the definition. I think it needs to be
And the other thing too, the other more detail that we'll have in the definitions is the washing down path surfaces using an efficient or water pressure device or tool. So to clarify that, rather than just the leaving the hose running, for example.
Can I ask a question through you, Mr. Chairman, to the General Manager? So the automatic filling stations, do you have any idea of who actually kind of uses those? Because like general public, like say they're living in town, even if I went here in the founder or wherever they are, living in town, I'm not going to go and pay $6.10 or $40 for it when I can get it at home for $3.20. So who's using the automatic filling stations? Do you have any comment?
We don't know at this stage because it's just it's open, so they've just got to use a credit card to pay. So in, for the example I used in here, and we had, say, Manildra, for example, during the drought when Orange were on level 5 restrictions, the same as us, we heard some existing consumers ringing up from the Manildra area saying people from outside the area are coming and accessing the filling stations, and they allegedly said that they were allegedly using that water for topping up pool water in gardens.
So do you think that the average Joe that lives in town and he's paying $3.20 would go and take water from the automatic filling station so his bill, even though he's getting more water, it doesn't look like he's using as much water?
Depends how much they care for their gardens and their swimming pools. That's how desperate they are.
Yeah.
They know they can't use their own direct.
Oh, look, it's a good thing. So, like, it's so important. Yeah. I'd rather see people use that $6.40, whatever it is.
So just getting back to, sorry, Councillor Best's comment and how we're going to implement that. I've had some discussions with Peter and Noel about what our options are with those filling stations. It would be more administratively challenging for us. However, I understand there is ways and means to do that by, as I said earlier, by issuing a card or tokens or even a credit card registration system if that was the case. Or I think there's also a mechanism in there where you can limit the amount per transaction, as in a kilolitre or 2 kilolitres, or if we're at that level 5 or level 6 restriction, when obviously we're protecting that, protect that source.
I totally agree with what we're trying to achieve here, because we know that when we get down to those levels 5, our responsibility is managing that resource, that's our major drive. Forget about financials, we've got to make that go as long as we can. So I totally agree. All I was pointing out was I think it's a difficult thing. We'll have to do a lot more clarity on how we're going to manage that, because people in those situations, people do then start getting, you know, they're very reliant upon that, like the filling station. And as John Newsett was saying, I think the most people use it are people that can't hook directly to our system. There's lots of rural residents that cannot. Don't have access to our system, and in those situations they've run out of water, they're doing the best they can. I know ladies in town that are carting 1,000 litres at a time because they just have to. So I don't want to take that as a bare necessity. I think that's, they've got to have that access, but keeping it, restricting it and sort of managing the best we can is what's important for us to do. It's important we do that. I don't want to stop people from accessing it. I think it's a necessity. People, you know, we need water, but that's all. So I totally agree with how you're doing it. We've got to make it clear how it's going to be managed. That's all. Thank you.
Getting back to the mechanics of the level 1A, 1B, as I said, I assume it means that we'll have to notify our consumers when the dam falls below 90%.
Yeah, we can notify, we've got it on our website now, but we've got our Facebook page, we can, and if they ring up to inquire, we can also notify them then.
Wanting to wash down the walls, looks up level 1, and it says, maybe yes, maybe no, depending on what the level of Lake Rollins is. And I suppose go on the website and check the level of freight profiles.
Yeah, and maybe we can have where we've got that application of where level, what level Lake Rollins is at. We can say in brackets or something that this is the restriction that applies now.
And the mechanics of implementing it creating a bit of a rod for our back, I suspect.
And then we get a shower of rain and we go back above, we hit 90%, we get a shower, we're up to 90%, and then you back down there.
Yeah, and that goes through you, Mr. Chairman, to level four there as well, recommendation 4, as in keeping the restrictions uniform. So you're taking away that confusion, at least if, yeah, I don't know, there's discussion, potential discussion there, but it just makes it easier to get that messaging across through our entire supply network.
Because the thing too, as the chairman said, with Lake Rollins, you know how much water's there. With the bores, you don't know.
Yeah.
There might be less water in the bore when we're on level one, then they should maybe be on level two, but if you keep it uniform, then you don't have to second guess yourself, do you?
No.
I agree with that one.
Yeah. A few more comments. It's been a long debate that's gone on for quite a while. It's good to get it sorted before we start getting into lower levels in the dam.
And so through you, Mr. Chairman, these recommendations that are adopted today will go into our demand and drought management plans to be presented to council at our June meeting to go on public display for comment. So if you have any other suggestions between now and then, they can be brought up as well.
Yeah. All right.
So have we decided to go with the A and B, or are we just going to leave it as it is here?
Oh, that is. Well, I think the motion is exactly as printed. It doesn't refer to level 1A or 1B. It creates two categories within level 1, which is really the same thing.
Yeah.
We're not dictating to the general manager how he needs to mark and break present this. And that seems to me to be a clear way of presenting it. But and I think there's problems in implementation. I think for my part, I don't think I'd do it, but that's a personal view, but I think we've had a reasonable debate about all of this. So, any more questions? Those in favour? Carried. We now move on to item 4, which is the update on our Lake Rollins augmentation. Someone like to move that we note the report?
Move.
Councillor Walker, thank you. Seconded. Councillor Benbrick. Thank you very much. Yeah, I think the report, I guess, repeats a lot of what we know. What I guess councils are really interested in is what's actually happening at the moment. Who's being appointed, who's doing what, that sort of thing.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. As I've got there in my report, and as you're all aware, on the 26th of March, we finally got approval, official approval, to move past the whole point after some very strong lobbying by CTW. It's great to get that, finally get that traction to move forward. So with that, Noel has discussions with Noel and also with Peter. Noel has been in discussions with GHG regarding the detailed concept design and moving forward with that to develop a scope of works for that piece of work. That's going to be the major part of this the second stage of this project. And we're also working through the procurement process for that, seeing that we're looking at works that are going to be valued around 350 to 400,000 for that piece of work, for that detailed concept design. And with GHD once again being the original designers and builders of that, of the existing Lake Rollins, as well as the review of environmental factors. We've been in touch with the consultant there regarding our review of environmental factors to work on the scope of works there, and we've also had discussions with the Balmoral Group, who were the business development consultant that we used for the initial strategic business case, and talking to them about the final business case to ensure that we're capturing all the information we need to underpin the business case to wrap up the feasibility study. So,
okay, so on just a few questions from me. For the concept design and scope of works, do we need to go to tender for that, or is that included in the contract GHD has already got?
Yeah, well, that's what we're looking at now. We're waiting for advice from local government procurement to see if we can go directly to GHD, for example, or a restricted tender process,
yep,
to make sure we're using the appropriate procurement process.
Okay, that's good. So that, what stage is that at the moment? We're still waiting for LG procurement.
Yeah, Noel, did you want to add anything?
Through Jim, we're very conscious of the budget requirements. We got a grant of $1 million, yep, we spent a certain amount of work. Part of the scope of work in the preliminary discussions with GHD was to give us a gold-plated scope of works, and then we can go through that costing of that and bring those costings down to something that will fit within our budget. So we're working with them to discussions, audiovisual. I did attend GHD initially to go through what they had proposed on the original, and then out of that we've had subsequent two meetings on that, trying to come down from an original budget that they provided us of $1.1 million to bring it down now into something around the $350,000-$400,000 mark to fit within our budget. So it's a matter of aligning up with what that design is going to encompass, what parts of that design can we push off as a stage three approach, if you like. If there is a tendency for the government to assist us with funding for our final business case, of what we put forward.
Yeah.
But the key factor to this concept design is the ability for CTW to go out to market and get a true and reflective price of building to that concept design. And that will then assure us of what our costs will be when we go the further grant funding to build it. So it's aligning what GHD's provided us in their scope of work that we put forward. As I said, it was a gold-plated one. And now culling that out and parking certain costs to maybe a stage three if the government is assured of. But it's still enabling us to go out and get a reflective price of building that area.
Did GHD contribute to the preliminary business case?
They declined to contribute because of the time factor.
Yeah, okay.
So that they provided us advice that they could do it. However, they were not in a position to meet the time frames that was dictated under our deed.
As it turned out, the time frame was never adhered to. One other question about GHD. Aren't they the ones advising Water New South Wales on the Lake Wallace and Kakwal pipe?
Correct. They are looking at the engineering solutions,
yeah,
for the pipeline project, correct.
And we've got tension with Water New South Wales about how that pipeline should be configured and constructed. And Water New South Wales wants to take off little bits of water once we get to 80%. We say, no, we'll give you water once we're pretty well overflowing. So there's a real conflict as to how the two projects are going to mesh together. I think you've got a steering committee working through all that.
Yep.
My only issue there is, isn't GHD hopelessly conflicted when they're working for Water New South Wales on one project where Water New South Wales have got a particular objective, and for us, on our projects, where we've got a different objective?
There are two different departments that we're dealing with. We're dealing with a specific dam constructability. And the people that are involved in that dam are different than the people that are involved with Water New South Wales of delivery of a pipe design and delivery of a pipeline. So the infrastructure projects are within different departments, and whilst they are aware, of course, of the workloads that they are doing, I personally don't see a conflict of interest, because the proposals that's going to be put forward to via Water New South Wales for their project of a pipeline and how they're going to operate that, or opposed to us how they're going to operate it, can only be complemented by raising the dam wall. It's only going to be, both projects will be assisted if they run concurrently. And we've always advocated that the Lake Rollins augmentation project should be the one that's taking priority, because it provides CTW with urban security or resilience in the urban years. Whereas the pipeline project is all about security and assistance to non-urban use. So there is clear delineation in there. It's how
I think that just highlights the conflict, which is going to prevail, the urban water priority, and therefore how we want to construct it, or the Water New South Wales industrial and irrigation customers, and how they'd rather manage it. Like the fact that different people from the different teams of the organisation are looking at different aspects, because they're one's a dam wall and one's a pipeline. I personally don't think that solves the conflict. I raised it only as an issue that strikes me as a quite important issue to get on top of. That's all.
Yeah, with the steering committee, David, got to count there, Chairman. Those operating rules haven't been worked through yet, and they will be worked through. There's a steering committee as well as a working group, and GHD are consultants to Water New South Wales and us, being although they're the same organisation, separate entities, but they would have minor input into those committees under that steering committee regarding the operating rules around the pipeline, as well as the grazing of Lake Rollins wall. So
are we putting the cart before the horse? I mean, there's no point having a pipeline if we don't augment Lake Rollins. So are we tied to the pipeline if Lake Rollins does get enlarged?
Are we tied to it?
Yeah.
Depends what we're directed by the minister, I suppose.
I think the advantages to CEW of the pipeline are far, far, far less than if we increase the dam. And my view's always been, if we get a double the storage capacity roughly in the dam, then the pipeline's not so important anymore. And certainly the way the pipeline operates is less important. For example, we're far less likely to need to have to pump water back.
And my concern is that if they want to take it when the dam's above 80%, that changes all our demand management, because it's never going to be above 90% of those things we talked about in the last agenda item. Well, I've still, the pipe went in, that they shouldn't get any water until it's overflowing. That's my opinion.
And that all just illustrates the conflict problem, one that I see, that the people advising Water New South Wales with one particular agenda will also be advising us, and also be different teams of people. And there's a big boss, no doubt, somewhere in GHD who'll say, and I'm not suggesting for one moment they would do this, but it's the concept, it's the perception, and the Water New South Wales is probably a far bigger customer historically and in the future than CEW is. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that they'd be influenced by it, but we're public sector, it's public money, and we've got to be very careful of conflicts.
What point are they up to with the pipeline? Is it purely the engineering stage, or are they actually developing plans to go along with that, developing business cases and things as well, or that it's purely in development?
Yeah, this is part of their final business case. So it is in South Wales again, and they expect that business case will be finished, completed by the end of this year. But we're past that whole point now, and we've had great support through Water Infrastructure New South Wales, who will be that overarching body of the steering committee. They'll be chairing those committees and the working group, and that'll be our conduit, I suppose, to for both projects, putting views forward, and as I said, discussing those rules as well. So,
so if they're up to the business case then, as you said, with that area, is that therefore something that we should be putting to JHD and getting any writing from them? If you're using them in a bad situation, should we be writing to the directors of JHD and saying we is there going to be a conflict of interest and how are you going to manage that within your, if we go ahead and accept your quotes and things like that? You just, Noel's giving me a look, no.
Through the chair, yeah. I just don't see that conflict of interest for the roles that GHD is playing. The roles that GHD is playing is providing engineering support only. I don't believe that they are part of the steering committee. You could correct me if general manager. These steering committees are only being set up now, and CTW are certainly on the steering committee with Board of New South Wales to determine what the operating rules, or come up with some agreement on operating rules. So the operating rules that Councillor Misstead has been talking about of 80% and overflow and spilling was all about being able to model what would be available under certain scenarios. And again, General Manager, we have not made a firm commitment on any rules that are being applied for that pipeline project. So again, I come back to the conflict of interest that is on the table. Is GHD as an engineering firm is providing an engineering solution to a pipeline. GHD as a dam builder is providing an engineering assistance in doing a design and presenting a design that CTW can go out to market for. So I can't see an influence of GHD being available to determine how those rules are going to be operated. It will be up to the steering committee to come up with those final terms, of which CTW does have a chair.
So it makes sense that if there is a conflict, the conflict would be in reverse, wouldn't it be that New South Wales Water would be more likely to have a conflict than us? Because if the dam doesn't get augmented, they're not going to get the pipeline anyway. I mean, surely they don't expect us to supply water for irrigation out of the dam as it is. So wouldn't there be a conflict the other way? Wouldn't they be worried that the dam's going to hold more? So the impact on the pipeline.
I think the pipeline project was going to go ahead even if we hadn't done the dam wall racing.
So what we're doing with the pipeline project, if the department or the minister decided to just go with the pipeline project, under those rules we'll be getting water. We'd have an allocation in Carport Down to access to bring back into our system, so we still get increased in water security. However, obviously, we're pushing for the augmentation of Lake Rollins, and as the chairman said earlier, if we get that Lake Rollins augmented, there will be a lesser requirement to have any water. We will still put our hand up to have additional water if it's available an allocation out of Carport Down. However, there will be a less requirement on that if we've got that enlarged storage area in our own.
It's when this becomes a reality, I'll say that. So I think they're talking about grant funding. Is there anything to discuss where the grant money's coming from and what does CTW have to contribute to the whole show?
We'll probably get to that in the long-term financial plan, but the answer is 50-50 at the moment on the assumptions.
Yeah, I realise that. Is it going to be state and fed together or just state?
Through you, Mr. Chairman. At this stage, our assumptions are based on state funding. However, with the late bringing the pipeline project into play, that also opens up a potential opportunity for federal funding as well. If both projects are supported.
So
that's another thing to think about as well.
Okay. So I just raised the GHD issue because I think we need to be conscious of that. I think going through the process we're going through at the moment. and as part of the review of environmental factors, have we got to go to tender for that?
Once again, I'll pass to Noel for the discussions you've had previously.
So our original discussions for environmental factors was through PROMIS to come up with certain costings and things like that for those. And under the outcome of those discussions was to look at the animal ecologist of what our 100% mark is and taking it up to 2.2 metres of that land and have that animal ecologist to go through and do a review of those, and that would be forming part of our review of environmental factors. Now, the other things to take into account, of course, is Aboriginal heritage, and so the proposal was put forward by PROMIS of us then to revise that that original scope of works to ensure that we can cover up on our review of environmental factors.
Okay, so we don't necessarily need to go to sort over the threshold for tendering or anything like that.
It's not a high value.
Oh, okay.
We're looking to put that around 70,000, yeah. Yeah. 70 to 100.
Compared to what the design is of the dam.
Through Mr. Chairman, just going back to that potential conflict, I can raise that as an item at our next steering committee meeting, which is next Thursday afternoon. So I'll put that as an agenda item to be discussed and advise councillors accordingly.
Mm.
Yeah.
I know, I'm sort of have a feeling that we perhaps should be putting that back to JHD, sorry. Just to highlight what the director said, he said in his belief, and I think that's, we just, you know what I mean, we're going on the fact that we think that's what's going to happen, but maybe we should be putting it back to them to put it in writing. This is, at this early stage, I mean, we're talking about, we don't want to be seen as going anywhere in the future with this funding or having anything hanging over our head as a bit of conflict.
Yes, it's our issue.
Mm.
And to the example, we would be saying to GHD, we know you've got the expertise and we know you're an extraordinarily competent firm, we've got confidence in your ability. That you're also working for Water New South Wales on a project where we haven't yet quite worked out how the two are going to link together. Mm. How are you going to handle the conflict?
Well, then we get a response back from him that highlights that we've now got a record saying we addressed that and we didn't
take it. We've got an issue. It's been raised. We've got an issue. It might not be a problem. You tell us how you're going to handle it. Yeah, so one final question for me then. I will have more contribution, but on the costing, we've got $1 million, we spent $350 roughly already.
$370,
so we've got
$630, and we expect to spend about, from the progressing these works, about $130, so we'll have about $500,000 to spend next year.
Yes, so what is our current thinking about whether that's enough?
Through the chair, that's the discussion that I'm having to try and develop a scope of works that will keep us within that 100,000. So until those discussions are complete and both parties are satisfied that there is enough money available to provide us with the end result for a detailed concept design of which we can go to market with, and that value of that information coming back from the public, from the private sector to provide us with a true cost. That's the end goal.
Mm.
Same with our review of environmental factors. We will try to do as much as we can in-house to keep those costs down, but at the moment we're in the preliminary stage of determining what cost is, what is required. I talk about niceties and necessities, so what is the necessity to have a good concept design available, and what are the niceties that can go with it. So, and then we can park those costs accordingly. And that's the discussion I'm having at the moment, which eventually become bring them down from a value that they've provided to something that will fit within our budget, but still give us the value that of obtaining that that true cost of building the den.
Okay, well, I guess this is relevant to the later discussion on the budget. So at this stage, we need to be contemplating that there'll be an overrun on the cost of doing the feasibility or the final business case, because we'll simply be able to satisfy the treasury requirements for a final business case within the budget.
Correct, that's fine. That's what we're working.
Sorry, I've hogged the floor a bit, giving you the detail of some of this, but it's important. I mean, this is the biggest project we've had on for years and years and years, and it's a game changer for the whole organisation. So I think as councillors, we need to really understand what's going on. More questions? Any comments?
It's terrific we got to this stage.
Yeah, 3 years to chair, I think it's fantastic. It's just been that frustrating, but it's been great to get that traction. And I can't sing their praises enough, Water Infrastructure New South Wales, for their support in helping our cause. Obviously the chairman and the council, it was great that we got that meeting with the minister to push it forward as well. I think that really did obviously give help, and it's good to get that traction so we can move on with it.
It's really to get the clarity of that 2 point, like of where we're going with the raising the dam wall, because we had all the other downstream dams and this option and all the other options went with it. It's terrific to sort of have them, I mean, that'd be wonderful, but have them on the table and have one project now that's highlighted and just been working towards that project. Sort of, it's got, you can see light at the end of the tunnel, which before I think we were just all floundering around trying to find a solution. So I think this is, I think CTW themselves and the directors have all done a terrific job with this. I think it's unreal.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're way ahead of where we ever thought we'd be on this. It is absolutely fantastic. And I wouldn't want to be taken to all my questions or anything negative. I just want to make sure that the councillors are totally on top of what's going on, because if it becomes unstuck for one reason or another, you know who's going to have the finger pointed at us. So, yeah, it's our job to make sure we're totally happy with the way things are going. No more questions? Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Move on to item 5, the Water Management Conference in Narrabri. So I'd like to move that recommendation. Councillor Best, seconded by Councillor Newstead. As the General Manager says, it's traditional for the Chairman, the Deputy, the GM and the Director to go, and any other councillors who express an interest.
So through you, Mr. Chairman, if any councillors would like to attend, please let me know and I'll organise it.
When's the cut-off date to let me know again about that?
I think the early bird registration opens today, so within the next month. I've reserved some accommodation, so that's one of the key points to getting early for the accommodation, but that can be cancelled at any time as well. Just let me know. That's from the 7th to the 9th, which is I think it's the second week of the school holidays as well. So it gives you a good conference, a good opportunity to network with other water utilities.
If the councillors are interested in coming, I can recommend it. It's a good conference. A lot of interesting papers normally, and good networking opportunity.
I'm particularly interested in managing the risk posed by mega droughts. I'd like to find what their definition, feel about more what they consider to be a mega drought, whether that's something that we should be concerned about. Yeah. Last year was bad enough.
You see, the future of local water utilities is also a topic. Okay, any questions? Put that, those in favour. It's carried. Now we get to item 6, the resolutions. Update, which has been circulated, so I'd like to move that. Councillor Newstead, take it on Councillor Best, thank you. Any questions of the GM on any of those progress being the resolutions? support that. Those in favour?
Aye.
Item 7, financial matters. Peter's report on the state of our investments. Someone like to move that. Councillor Walker, Councillor Benbrick. Thank you. Is there anything you'd like to add, Peter? It's a good report. Thank you. It always is.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, it's business as usual. There's been some economic news lately, so everyone's sort of comfortable that the economy's sort of coming out of the sort of COVID period and things are sort of picking up. And the fact that the drought is broken as well as picked up things in the rural sector a bit. Although there are some concerns with relations with China, so there's a bit of a cloud at the moment in some sectors. Interest rates remain very low, particularly in the short-term area where we sort of focus on. If you can get 0.5% for 6 months, it's not a bad result. So some institutions have got so much money that when they come, your money matures, they're actually sort of questioning whether they will roll the deposit for you. It's even close to that stage. You've got to see if someone will actually accept money. Generally, if you've got a pre-existing investment, they will do that, but they're not accepting new money. So it's very sort of competitive at the moment, very sort of hard, unless you can come across an institution that's got a short-term liquidity need that out there and wants to put some good rates out there to attract some funds. But the market's very hard, probably, interest rates are at historic lows, as everyone knows. There's thought that this will be the case for 3 years. I'm not sure whether it will go for 3 years. There has been some movement in the 10-year long-term bond rates, which seems to indicate there is a little bit of concern that maybe inflation might pick up a little bit in the next 2 or 3 years. But the RBA has been pretty firm on the fact that they're going to keep a lid on interest rates for 3 years. Whether they do that, if inflation starts to pick up and the economy really starts to go ahead in leaps and bounds. There are some sectors like housing which are just absolutely very sort of volatile at the moment in terms of growth there, and there's talk about bubbles and other sort of issues and capacity of people to pay. And we're even experiencing that in regional areas in the central west. We're seeing a lot of that, and that's because money is so available and so cheap at the moment. But we'll just keep looking around, and if we can come across some good deals, we'll sort of take advantage of it. Try and lock in for a bit longer if we can, after maybe 12 months. That's why we've been sort of keeping our cash reserves a little bit higher, our cash, our money in the bank and so on. So to give us a little bit of flexibility to go out a little bit longer to the portfolio. So we're sort of looking at that, but certainly it's not something that's going to balance your budget from interest. That's certainly the interest is no longer a significant factor in your budget as you move forward, because that's at very, very low levels.
Can I ask a question for you, Mr. Chairman? What about banks like UBank, who are a subsidiary of NAB? Like, I know I've got money invested with them, I'm getting only 1%.
Yeah, we're actually...
They're only an online bank, though, but they're a branch of the NAB.
They got their own separate credit ratings. We do have our policy. But I've never actually looked at UBank in terms of commercial investment. I have heard of them, but I've never actually looked at putting funds there. And they don't appear on any of the brokers' rates, or they don't appear to advertise a lot. There is a little bank called UDay Bank, which was offering some very competitive rates, but that, unfortunately, they were unrated. And I think they were some former employees of the National Australia Bank as well, I recall. We've got to stay within our policy framework as well.
No, that's just a question.
Mm. Any more questions? Put back those in favour. Thank you. Mate, now we get to the next year's budget and the long-term financial plan. So we've all been circulated. I would like to move that. Councillor Newstead, second to Councillor Benbrick. Thank you. Now, Peter, you've done a lot of work on this. Thank you very much. And also thank you for the emails you've been sending around, alerting councillors to what was coming up, because the full version of the plans may recently been circulated, but we've certainly had a good warning as to what would be enclosed. So I'll put that up for comments and questions on. Well, let's deal with the operation plan first, or get to long term plan. Any questions on the plan, or the first part, which I think is the same every year, or more importantly, the second part, which is effectively the budget.
Workshop next week, and some of these issues may come up in the discussions there. Structurally, you know, we do have low connections per kilometre of water main, so the density of connections is a challenge for us. We do have a high level of value per connection, so the value of infrastructure per connection. And that contributes then to obviously a higher depreciation factor as well. Our infrastructure is also ageing. Probably an example of that is in the long term financial plan, we've got planning water filtration plant, which is built in 1960. So that's an example of where our infrastructure is aging, plus our water mains. And you'll note that in 21-22, just on the issue of mains, with our RETIC mains, we haven't done a lot of RETIC renewal in recent years because we set money aside the front main gate, the East front main, which we've now done. And we've got a major program of work planned there for the RETIC mains, particularly the AC, the asbestos concrete ones. Councils will be aware when they look at their statistics each month that there's some recurring areas there that, you know, that seem to come up and we've got breaks. So we're planning to do in the next few years to spend about $950,000 to do a very comprehensive program, a high priority RETIC mains across the network, and that will involve replacing a lot of the old AC pipes as well. So we're going to take a major focus on that over the next couple of years. To actually do that, there's a proposal in the plan to actually engage another operator at Blaney to assist in that work. So it may not necessarily be that operator, but it will then free up another operator that can actually concentrate on that program. So that will give us an opportunity to really get in and make a dent in some of those areas that we do have problems with the level of lease and the level of service. But the issue of assets is always the one that really dominates our budget, I suppose, in terms of the way we cross our water and so on, because we've got to fund that infrastructure. As we discussed probably in more detail, a lot of our infrastructure we'll be relying on, particularly Lake Rollins and Blaney Water Treatment Plant, we will be relying on grant funding. So we are relying on other tiers of government to help us, you know, replace some of that, to do some of that work. And in the next 10 years, we'll be probably taking on a lot more debt than we've taken on before. So that's something that we, you know, is really dominating the plan for the next 10 years to fund some of those works. So it'll be a combination of grants and debt, which is not something that we've used. We've had access to a lot in the past. In terms of our fees and charges, we're looking to increase the water charge from $3.28 to $3.50 per kilowatt. It's about 6.7%. Over the 2 years from this year to next year, it's about 6%. Each year. The increase the previous year was about 5.8, I think, so it balances out. There's a small increase in the availability charge to allow us to maintain the network. and allows the meeting space both parts of the charge. And we've got to comply within our 25-75 rule for residential water sales and availability charge, so we maintain that ratio. We're right, just about right on it. So that's one of the factors that sort of limits your capacity to. You've got to be aware of the impact of your pricing on that ratio. So based on that, with a typical residential account of 182, that consumes 182 kilolitres, and I know the spelling error of kilolitres there in the report, we'll fix that up before it goes out. On public display, we'll pay an additional $44 a year, or 85 cents a week, which is not a huge increase in those terms, bearing in mind, of course, that some consumers will be consuming more than 182, and they'll be paying proportionally greater amount. But that allows us to get a positive operating result for the year, to cover our depreciation and to cover our operational costs, and allow us to have a small surplus. In framing this budget, I had to go back and look at the year-to-date to see how we're tracking compared to the December budget review, and I think the way we're tracking is probably much lower water sales because we've had a continuation of the wet weather. So we will be probably looking at a fairly substantial deficit before capital amounts this year. That's not without precedent. In 10-11 and 11-12, which were two very wet years, we had similar results, and that's something that's just part of the volatility of the income stream that we have. If we get very wet years, or we get with a severe drought, we have to put in severe water restrictions, we've got that constraint on our income. As the general manager indicated, the developer charges we've set at 6211 as per the draft ESP. We've also, as discussed earlier in the meeting, we put the infill blocks out at the same bill, 6211 per ET. Just one thing with ETs, it refers to blocks that are 2,000 square metres or more. And this is something that sometimes comes up when we're talking about developments. If you've got a block that's in excess of, if you've got a block that's 3,000 square metres, then it's 1.5 ET. And we have a capital contribution, we're recommending a capital contribution charge for Pointy over there. It's set at 50% of the Lake Rollins rate, which is 3,105, with the money to be set aside for a year, the Corniola system. Corniola system has got a lot of capacity in it, I understand, at the moment, so we won't have to probably increase the capacity, but we may have to do renewal works. That work has now been in place for 20 years. One of the things that we will see here as well is the existing loan that we have will be fully repaid in March of next year. So come 30th of June of next year, before we draw down any further loans, we'll be debt free for the first one since 2001. So basically overall, it's a plan that's relies on a recovery in our water sales. It's not budgeted for a recovery, so if we get another wet year, then that will make a significant sort of change to it. And also try and get that our costs don't increase that much. We do have some costs, and this is something that's across the sector, the local government sector. We've seen very large increases in general insurances, around 12.5%. Being advised by statewide that this will sort of stabilise to 4 or 5%, maybe in future. The market has sort of, after the initial shock of COVID and the risk and some of the bushfires we've had in Australia, some of the floods we've had in Australia, the market's pretty tough, I think, for underwriters to go out there and to provide cover, and they're asking more questions when you come to do a renewal. So you're very conscious of risk factors there that are playing on there, playing in the market. The two big projects that we've got over the life of the long-term plan is Lake Rollins augmentation, 2 metres. We've been to spend, and discuss this earlier, $500,000, the remainder of the $1 million grant funding next year. We don't have, just touching on what the chairman has said about those costs and what the director of technical services said, we aim to have that work, body of work done within $1 million. We haven't made any provision for any additional funding beyond that million in this week, so we aim to be as done for that $1 million. The other one is we plan to complete the, which works currently underway on the Gargoyle Water Filtration Plant Reservoir, the 12 meg, and we've done an analysis of that project. We think we'll probably have around $2 million worth of works to complete in next year. But we'll certainly look at that situation, do any rebate we need to do to carry money out of the roof if we don't spend money in this year. That's a $4.7 million project. We hopefully we'll spend around $2.7. Obviously, the wet weather doesn't help us, as the director told me yesterday, that doesn't help the bulk of the work that's going on out there. To make it cool still, but we're doing that. With the Lake Rollins project, I spoke to the technical service director in terms of the timing of that project, and he said it'd probably be a 2-year project, 22-23, 23-24, so we basically planned it over those 2 years. Based on the cost of $15 million, I think the latest cost, we had an indicative cost, we won't really know until we do a detailed design, was $14.4 million. So we're working on a $15 million round figure at this stage, and that's the information we have. And that will be funded through a 50% grant through the Safe and Secure Program, which is currently our entitlement under the existing program. So we're based on a 50% grant, and that's a state government program. There's no federal funding being allowed for in this budget, or assumed. So that's $7.5 million of funding and $7.5 million of loan funds. That'll be a 20-year fixed loan. We have had initial discussions with TCorp. TCorp's now being very active in the infrastructure market providing funding. We have had discussions, preliminary discussions with them. Currently, the mandate does not permit them to lend money to county councils. There is talk of that mandate being changed. There was, during the COVID period, a 6-month window, I think, or a 9-month window, where they would allow county councils to get funding through TCorp, because Rouse Water did get funding, approval for funding. And that was always something that we weren't sure as to how they got approval when county councils could not get funding, but it was an amendment made to the mandate during the COVID period. That closed, I think, on the 31st of March of this year. And there's now been a lot of lobbying and discussions to whether that, and there's been approaches to the minister to actually change that, or the government to get that mandate changed to the county council so they can get funding from TCorp. TCorp funding is generally a bit cheaper than the commercial banks. 20-year fixed loan, the last rate I saw from TCorp was about 2.8. I did approach one of the commercial banks for an indicative rate, and they were talking 3.2, 3.3. So you're looking 40, 50 basis points difference there. But certainly what we would do if we are successful, the project going forward, is we would go out to tender a request for quotation and see what the major banks could offer, and we'd see what if county councils become eligible for TCorp, we'd approach TCorp as well. Bearing in mind that they do have some fairly strict requirements regarding the investment profile and so on, but in the long run it would certainly be preferable to get the cheaper funding and get a lower return on your investments than currently like one of their criteria, TCorp, is to have a positive operating result across the life of long-term employee spend. We do actually have that, albeit some years we've got very small surplus, but we still have a surplus. So one of the factors we've had to consider there, and this is something that the chairman has mentioned a number of times, is depreciation factor and the impact that depreciation has going forward. Just on that point, there's a major revaluation of water and sewage assets to be undertaken in 21-22. So we're certainly looking at that depreciation number. But as we renew the asset, the assets then obviously will, in the case of Lake Rollins, for example, our asset officers told me that there would be certain, with the raising of dam walls, there would be certain dam strengthening works and strengthening of the structure. So we would probably get probably get, I think the residual life is probably currently around 44 years, and you get probably another 36 years out of it, so it'll be 80 years the residual life where it remained alive. From that point, so if we, the work was done in 23, 24, then the residual life will probably take it to the year 2100. So we've got to work on that. That's a challenge for us, the appreciation. But we are aware of it, and we have had this discussion in this at a number of council meetings. In this plan, we do have it covered, and hopefully we'll achieve our water sales going forward. With a long-term plan, there was a couple of scenarios. One was changing the interest rates. Let's see what impact that would have. We still, if the interest rates go up by a percentage, 1%, we will still be okay. I present a plan to council, and based on the information we have at the moment, this is a way we can sort of work going forward, but there are a lot of factors going forward. As the director of technical services said to me, there's unknown unknowns, but we do base it on the assumptions with the best information we have as well. But I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Peter. Questions from councillors? Any comments?
Probably a typo, but in your capital works program long term, you've got the work beginning on the blade filtration plan this financial year, next financial year. There's no plans to go in with any
works.
Just in your capital works program. It's probably got you not planning on doing any work this.
No, blade filtration plan we've got is 24-25. I modelled that with $1 million of our own funds because I wasn't sure exactly some of those preliminary costs would be eligible. And
then
$8 million of cost in 25-26. One of the things with Blaney filtration plan is that we probably need to do a feasibility study on that,
yeah.
The business case, to see how that best way to operate that plan, the best plan we need. Those costs there are indicative based on a DAF plant with 5 megalitres per day capacity, so that's the way we that's how we sort of come up with that.
Mm.
That figure, the existing technology, and Noel can certainly expand on that for Director of Technical Services. The challenge is obviously getting the water quality to the level you need with the old technology and the old plant, and that's the challenge for us sort of going forward. I don't know if you want to expand on that, Noel.
No, with our, you're allowing for 3.5% increase in electricity.
Yeah.
You think with there's any option there, like I know we've discussed a lot of times, we're going as standard as those. I know we're putting a little bit aside for renewables, but you reckon there's nothing. It's going to be one of those hard ones, isn't it?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we've got 200,000 in there for the renewable energy infrastructure with a 50% grant, and that's been something that we had preliminary discussions on about getting a solar farm, maybe a green to carport, water filtration plant in that area, and that's what we're looking at there. We're part of the regional contract through the JO for electricity, so and I understand that finishes at the end of, I think it's the end of this year.
Okay.
It was a 2-year contract on the board. So negotiations on that will be starting, I think, pretty soon. The electricity market is very volatile, as you know, but it doesn't appear to be, at the moment, a lot of pressure on wholesale pricing and that at the moment. Although there is some fear in the market about the closure of major power stations going forward, particularly the coal-fired ones, and how that baseload power is going to be supplied with those power stations out of the network. So that's provide a bit of uncertainty. But at the moment, electricity prices, particularly in the retail area, haven't gone up a lot of late.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hopeful that 3.5% is a reasonable estimate.
Yes. It's one of those things that the government, you know, plenty of household rebates, but really for the electricity is one of our major costs, isn't it? Like, let's face it. So we should be putting some bit more on there to see if the government can give us some assistance into going to renewables more than more than 200,000 maybe.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, and as Pete touched on with the, through the JO, we're working through the JO, there's a deep received funding to do projects with all the councils. Noel's been involved with DPIE Water to do an audit on our on all our infrastructure to see what opportunities are there for, so for example, pumped hydro or solar panels at our pump stations. That's progressing now at the moment, but I said all the JO councils are involved in that project to identify opportunities for renewables or for energy efficiencies.
We had a review a couple of years ago. I remember one thing that it resolved in was solar panels at the admin building, the office, and that's where they first raised the issue of solar power at the that's sort of that project sort of finished.
It has, however, they're using that information now as part of this review through Centroc. They've got a copy of that energy plan that was done, and also with the procurement of that or acquisition of that additional land at the Carcor site for the 12 metre reservoir, there's also the director can operations can add to this, but there's additional land there that we can use in future for a small solar farm or solar opportunities there.
So my point is that it's a long term financial plan, and we're getting the advantages of solar are getting all these alternative energy are getting better and better and better. Whether we should be, in fact, I know it's harder to juggle of what you put in, is whether we should be thinking, okay, look, we at some point in the future we're going to probably need to invest more than, say, the $200,000 into some sort of thing, especially when electricity prices are only assuming that 3.5%, but it's a major cost, whether something we should be saying within 20 years we want to be 30% or 40% solar power or not solar power but renewable power. That's all I'm saying.
And through that, Councillor Best, through the project with the JO and through the renegotiation of the new electricity contract, they're putting a target out there at 50% by, I think it's 2030 or 2040, for councils to try and sign up to that for 50% renewables by that time period. So I think that would be a big challenge for us. However, we're working and work towards that.
I agree. So this is our long term plan as well.
It's a 200,000 we've got in there for
100,000 green, 100,000
Any more questions? Yes, Councillor Newstead.
Yeah, just I'm just wondering with the like Roland's augmentation, it's 15 million. 7.5 million would come from the state government. You would be looking for other opportunities though to get more grant funding, or is it,
the senior management team discussing this yesterday, we're certainly looking at other opportunities and see if we can certainly can get beyond the 50%. We certainly will. We're just basing on the guidelines that currently exist that we know that are in place to provide some certainty reference point from which to model it. But certainly we'll be looking at other options, and as has been indicated, maybe there's an opportunity bringing on the pipeline project and so forth to get some federal funding as well. But I didn't have any basis from which to put that in there.
Because what kind of confounds me is that surely the governments can see how much difference this will make to Lake Rollins and to the residents in the area. $15 million compared to $650 that they're talking about with White England there. It's nothing. Can't they see that this is probably going to have a bigger impact even than raising the water White England by 10 metres? It's just annoying, And such a little organisation, they should be able to, help us out. Give us the format.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, Councillor Newstead, we'll be pursuing all opportunities for funding, as I said earlier, with the federal government as well. And there was an announcement made just recently by Michael McCormack regarding water projects and about partnering with the state to deliver the smaller type projects up to, say, for example, $20 million or $40 million and to get those commuting within the next 2 years. So there's an opportunity there too for us to put our case forward.
Might not be on council after next September, but who knows?
But as we know, and our predecessors, it's been going on for over 20 years, and we've been advocating for this. As the chairman said earlier, it's just great to finally get some traction. And it's been the hard work of our predecessors as well as our current council to get this moving. So hopefully that'll continue.
Other questions? Just ask a couple of things. I take it we're all happy with the proposed 6.7% increase. I mean, that's the headline item that people want to look at, 6.7% to $3.50, and that's the level at which the budget works, the long-term plan works. I look at the projected revenue from water sales over the life of the plan, and it was up into the $5 billion pretty all the way through. Sorry, I'm dropping it here. I went back to look at the water sales revenue for the last few years, and we were sort of nowhere near that. And we budgeted it this year on $5 million or something, and we looked like it's been an exceptional year, I understand that. And what we're budgeting on for water sales is a mixture of how much water we're going to sell and what we're going to charge for it. We've got some control over what we charge for it, but we've got absolutely no very limited control of how much we're going to sell. So my question, Peter, is in modelling that revenue line, which is probably the most important revenue line in the whole thing, it's sort of half that revenue, how much of that steady rise is due to the price? I think you'd compound it at 6% or 5%. And how much is it due to increased sales? And, final question, when you work out how much of it is due to how much water we're going to sell, and I know there's absolutely no way we can predict year in, year out, it's going to up and down, we can't do anything about that, but we can look historically and take some sort of average about how much water we've sold over the last 5 years, project that out. I think somewhere else you said that we'll get new connections, so there's going to be more demand, so we'll sell a bit more water, but that'll be counterbalanced by more water saving measures, so people becoming more water wise. So to the extent we can sell more water to new customers, we're going to miss out on the same amount of water because people will be more efficient, so there's really no net gain in water sales from that. So in looking at the long term plan and working out what the revenue line's going to be, what's the figure in there for the amount of water we're selling? Average over that period.
For you, Mr. Chairman, it's a very good question. I've actually gone back to statistics back to, I think, 2005. We actually have a table where we see the trends over that period. And I've gone right up to the 30th of June 20 with the figures that we have available. And I'll take internal level 11, 12 are obviously very wet years. And some of those figures of water sales in those years actually had the money annual in there as well, so we could sort of take that out as well. Basically, I'm saying that I haven't actually allowed for any restrictions over the period of the plan. So if we get any severe restrictions, that would impact us. So basically you'd say it's probably optimistic to that extent, although I don't, as you say, I don't actually put growth in there for increased number of connections, and we generally do get a small increase. It's generally around 0.06%, I think. It's around some 6,000 connections, it's about 36 connections. There are some subdivision developments going on across from our support areas. Probably doing a little bit better than that at times. But I suppose it's based on the historical evidence and what we sell. The capacity of the dam is 4.5 gig, and we basically have about 3.5 gig to sell, and that's basically 2 years supply, or around 1,750 megs. And that number's been achieved, sometimes, but sometimes it's under. So basically, I took the average of the last, I think I looked at the last probably 5 years, I thought that was in.
Yep.
And it had, in those 5 years, we did have a couple of years of wood restrictions as well. So I knew that that average number would be a bit lower. So than what we, if we had 5 years of no restrictions, then I basically based it on that with the price increase.
Okay, so the long-term financial plan when it comes to water sales, the volume of water sold is roughly, but the average over the plan is roughly the same as the average sales over the last 2 years or 5 years or something?
Yeah, that's pretty much the case.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assumption. I mean, we know it's going to go up and down, and therefore we know we're going to have some bad years and we're going to have some good years. We no longer can think that. So over the plan, we've just got to assume the average.
That's
and then working on what the average ought to be, we should just take what the average has been over the last 5 or 10 years, because in that period we've had ups and we've had downs.
There was one thing, I suppose, with the pricing, we've spoken on this before, is I think about 5 years ago there was an 8% trajectory to fund the capital program. We actually changed that to, down to 6%. Plus a slight increase in the availability charge, so we give the two components. That slight increase in the availability charge probably gets you $30,000 or $40,000 a year, which you're certain of collecting.
Yeah.
Because it's not facing in the water sales, so it does give you a little bit more certainty of your supply there. But we do have the advantage here, I suppose, that we've got a flat tariff, and and I have been in councils where they had the step tariff and you're starting to try and model with the step tariff, particularly if you've got 3 steps.
Yeah.
It becomes extraordinarily difficult. Extraordinarily difficult. And your marginal revenue is based on the top tariff. So with this one, the biggest thing that probably would be an issue for us is if we get another severe drought or we get a major run of the years of wet years. And I think when the final result for this year is that we can see that the impact of this thing.
Okay. Now, thanks. That's good. I just wanted to make sure that we're happy with the projections in terms of income based on pretty sound assumptions. The other thing is the water. No. Yeah, the 12 meg reservoir. We're budgeting on 2 million, I think.
2 million for you, Mr. Chairman.
Next year. That includes the money in the reserves.
That includes 360,000, which was originally in the proposal for that emergency funding.
It was our
contribution.
Yeah.
We may not need to spend that money, depending on how things finish up, but it does give us a little bit of contingency there if there are any issues with the construction of the emergency one.
Yeah, so I should then ask a question of the director. Do you think, as best you know at the moment, do you think we'll need to dip into 360,000 in reserves for any overrun?
Through the chair, no. This stage, we've had some savings in the earthworks.
Yep.
However, they're going to be offset by changes in what was put forward as a foundation. The basis of the costing of the erection of the 12 meg reservoir. So we are anticipating additional costs in there, of course,
yep.
but the counterbalance between the two
should be
Okay. That's what we're looking towards.
So Ross, we put it in the budget. At the moment, there might be some fat in there that we won't need to use.
Correct. That's all right.
Okay. Yeah, so any other questions?
I've just got one sort of question, but it sort of goes back to Lake Rowland sort of problem thing, but that's such a major part of our budget. I don't think that's just a magic thing. But, no, with the director, with that, the gold-plated, you were saying about the gold-plated thing through GHD, the original quote for them was $1.1 million, around roughly.
It was a range that they provided to us, yes, that the top range was $1.1 million.
Right, so you think that you're going to get everything required within, say, if you drop back, if you're trying to get it for that $500,000, do you think that's because we haven't budgeted for any extra in the future at all with that? So will that cover off everything that's needed, or will we still have to come up with that $600,000, say, for instance, to get all the rest of that planning done in the future?
The discussion.
Do you see what I'm getting at or not?
Through the chair, that
yeah.
we were on the same page. We are trying to get the best we can out of that and only spend the $1 million.
Yeah.
So the big ticket item is the concept design,
yeah.
what we get out of that. So when I talked about gold plating, for instance, we would do all geotech. We might do a dozen geotech drill holes along the front of the dam to ensure that was all done. But can we get away with two of them to ensure that no changes have been done, knowing what other histories we've had? We've got certain variations that we can have in our planning of, do we extend the emergency spillway and lengthen that rather than build the height of the earth dam wall to cover off on this 1 in 1,000 event that was highlighted in our dam safety concerns or issues.
Yeah.
So there's things we can work within, but if we take those out and make a decision to say we leave it as it is, we do our design on what we have. So there's always, as I said, niceties to let's do that big review and get the best bang out of our buck for that design. Or what we can do is we say we've got that amount of money available, how can I best spend that? And you go out to market to get those, the true cost of building or raising the dam. And when we get those, if we get the momentum from the government, we will put aside in our budget to build this or raise the dam wall, certain options that we can explore in the budget of building the dam. So we can still do a revise of the fundamentals of the concept design. So that, the way I look at it is, here's the result that you need to get to. Which way are we going to go? So we can vary off in this direction, but every time we vary off on the direction, it costs us more money to explore a variation. So the idea is keep it really tight. What do we need to do? I've got a certain amount of money that I can spend. Here's what are we going to be able to get that? And until I get an agreement with a party for that scope works to be within that budget, I can't come back to council and ask for more, because that's what we're driving forward to.
I mean, the important thing though is that we get enough done, maybe just enough done, but we get enough done so that when we do our final business case and everything's wrapped up in a nice little bundle and given to the Treasury, they don't come back and say, well, you're underdone on this, you're underdone on that, you haven't done enough work on this or that, and we just wasted it all. So whilst we're sticking to the budget's important, it can't be at the expense of getting an end product which is fit for purpose.
I agree. Yeah, true, of course. And again, I say we're all on the same page while we're discussing this, but until we get those, I asked for the gold plating, and I'm using those gold plating now to park across. So if we look at it in stages, stage one was to get our feasibility study done, which is what we've done with the board six options. Stage two is to now come up with a detailed concept design and a rep to be able to present our final business case to have a true account of the cost of to do the build. Stage three is to do that presentation as part of that detailed business case, is to have identified all of the areas that have not been covered up on stage two that we are bringing to the surface while we're looking at that concept design and parking them across into a stage three plan with the description and the cost of what is going to be needed to do. So to give us that assurance, so when we do go for that funding, the cost of the additional work of the gold plating, if you like, that's are incorporated in that stage three, not in the stage two part or stage one, stage two of where we have that $1 million. So I will have a much better idea in our next council meeting. I've been very short on detail in my report about what it, how we've explored it through, because we're still exploring it, and I haven't yet got to a firm price to make assurance of both the designer and myself that that is going to be able to be constrained within that $400,000.
Because I think my thing is, I think we all know that good plans save overruns in the future. Like the better we can do our planning now, is the less likely we're going to have overruns. And by this budget, it's going to be tight, and we really can't afford any overruns going in the future. So whether we should be looking at spending a little bit more now to get those completed, I know it's we're working on their budget as tight as we can, but whether we should be spending more now and even going back for our $1 million and saying we'll go 50-50 with any extras at this stage, if you know what I mean, to make sure that we have a good solid plan, everything worked out so we don't hit those overruns going in the future. That's all. I'm just thinking whether it's the devil you know now than what we do in the future, that's all. So, but I realise you're on top of it, I'm just looking at it as a budgetary point of view. We've got no sort of extra contingency in there in between what we've got now and when we start borrowing money for it. That's all.
Yeah. And in the preliminary business case, GHD didn't do it, but we had someone else come up with it. We had the $14.4 million.
Yes.
And someone else came up with that. The work that they did to arrive at that figure, is that any good as input into what GHD is going to do?
Yes. Through the chair, of course. Yes.
Yep.
It is, and the details of that, of those options that we put forward for raising the dam wall, could give us a couple of options in those, have been taken on board by GHD as an opportunity for them to also explore. And it was quite pleasing that they actually came back and they with a comment to say, we actually had a look at this to do out of steel in raising the dam wall. And I've said, well, I haven't presented our information about the strategic business case to come up with our pricing, but that was also included in there as well. So, as I said, I was looking at, I'm conscious of the budget, so just to enable the council to have an understanding of where my priorities lie, I'm conscious of the budget to try and achieve the budget. If I'm not comfortable of those costs, that we're not going to get the value out of this, that when we have that final price to go to government for, I will certainly ask, I will not be shy in coming forward, working with my senior management team, and putting forward a budget review for additional works. But at the moment, it's just too early.
I think Paul's point would be the same as my point. The most important thing in this whole exercise is getting a final business case, which the government's going to say, yes, let's do it. That's what we want. And it's going to cost us slightly more, then we should spend slightly more, because if we skimp to stay within the budget and we slip up on the final business case, we're not going to get another crack at this for another 30 years. So getting a final business case, which is totally sort of bankable in the government's hands, is what is really, really important.
Yeah, the lowest possible risk to CPW. Yeah, the lowest possible risk of having something overrun, which puts us in a situation where we're finding it's now viable. That's a lot of money.
Previous chair, certainly, given the importance of this project, we would certainly come back to council and ask if we're required to get additional funding. Out of the reserve to complete it to this standard.
Yeah, well, I think that's the message we're sending, and I'll just keep to stick within the budget, but I'm saying, yeah, that's important, but let's not toss the baby out with the bathwater and give a tick because we stuck within the budget, and a big cross because our final business case isn't quite taken up.
And just for you, Mr. Chairman, just to reiterate, we're only advised on the 26th of March for that one option. They could have said it's the new dam downstream. So that's why we're just at that early stage now to get through this process.
Okay, that's a good discussion. That's good. But one other question, I just noticed, I forgot this. We've got a thing called a consultancy restriction. What's that about?
Mr. Chairman, that's a restriction I've set aside to if we need to do any studies or investigations that we haven't budgeted on. It's something that I put in place at another council because I was constantly finding that we had requests to undertake investigations in the works of council and vote to say we'll investigate these works because there was no funding behind it. So that gives us a little bit of a buffer, I suppose, a contingency to if you know something urgent becomes up, some project, say for instance we had to put money into the correctional project, we didn't have to in this situation, but if we had to, we had to find $20,000, well, we can come back to council and say, the QBRS, we can say we'll take that money out of the consultancy restriction.
Thank you.
Through the chair, if I may just add on to that with Peter, the benefit of having that consultancy, let's take the replacement of Trunk Main City. We've got pipeline projects that are interlinking through. It's more about where I can use this sort of funding is what sizes do we need if we put these different scenarios together of our interlinking pipelines, what do we need for Trunk Main City for the replacement to the specifications of those. It's just that little bit to the side that gives us the ability to make those informed decisions.
Excellent. That's all I have. Have a good discussion. Any more questions? If not, I'll put that. Thank you. And we'll move quickly to the rest. Item 9, the audit committee meeting with minutes have been circulated. They're up for adoption. Councillor Newstead, thank you. Seconded. Councillor Benbrick. Thank you very much. This is very old. This is minutes going back to November last year. We've had a meeting since then in March, but I guess we haven't had the minutes yet. Any questions on that? All those in favour? Carried. Regarding the PACT update, item 10. Recommendation to note that report. Shall we move that one? Councillor Walker, thank you. And Councillor Best. Any questions for the director on that one?
Look at all that lovely water that's gone over the wall. I say, look at all that water that's gone over the wall.
Yes, I had tears while we were trying to work through the drought, and now I've got tears to see it coming over the wall as well. So.
I don't know where it's going because the lake was hardly around it for now.
Any questions? No? We're taking a while to get the final report on those bore, the Laney Well and the Q-Dale bore. Is there any reason why that's taking so long?
I will put my hand up, Mr. Chairman. I'm not following it up. My priorities have dropped away a little bit. It's just a follow-up. There was a draft report put forward by our consultants. I have commented on that draft report and sent a reply back, but I have not followed back up to have that as a final report. So,
Any more questions? No. Those in favour?
No.
That's carried. Item 11, maintenance of the systems. I'd like to move that. Councillor Newstead, Councillor Bembry, thank you. Any questions of Noel on his report? No? If not, those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. And performance of the systems, item 12, someone would like to move that one. Councillor Bembry, and I think Councillor Walker. Okay, any questions on that report?
I haven't got a question on notice, but last weekend, you know, the big weekend in Canberra, the one fully Henry Bullock was CDW, he was the chairman of the board for that. I think we should, with Moe worked with him too, not on the board, but he worked with him always. I think we should send a letter from him congratulating what he did, what he achieved for Canberra and the whole area. This was pretty good. I just like that. Send a letter of congratulations to him and his team and everybody involved in the whole show.
All right, well, let's Chris is on that. Yeah, we'll just finish this item on the systems and then any questions on his performance report? Yes.
Just quickly again, can you tell me what R&RP and DNR stand for again? Can you put a little legend on the bottom of this report so I can remember?
R&RP is remove and replace pipe. Okay. So we've actually taken a section of pipe out that has been split. And then DNR is a brand name for putting a clamp around where the pipe is split. So instead of replacing pipe, yeah, the pipe, we can just put it.
Yeah. Just quickly off the top of your head, David, Noel, you've got 9 union water services connections. Was that in the subdivision or is that over across? We had nine new water connections.
Yes.
Was that a subdivision or was that in a cross area?
There was through some subdivisions. And others were in four blocks.
Okay, yeah, it's getting a few different ones.
Yes.
That's good. More than normal, that's always quite a good
increase. Through the chair, hopefully there'll be more. We've just completed a mains extension for a new subdivision called Highland Stage 2. So we're hoping to get that subdivision out of there, should be completed within the next month or two. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be able to get some new connections onto there as well.
That's in line.
Yes. It's a fairly large subdivision.
Any more questions? Those in favour? Carried.
Aye.
Okay, now we get to item 15 questions on those, and I think Councillor Walker is moving that we congratulate staff member Andrew Bull on his contribution to the Canberra Balloon Festival, isn't it?
Yeah. He was the chairman of the show.
Chairman of the festival committee?
Yeah, festival committee.
Yeah, that's good. Any comments on that? In favour of that, those in favour?
No.
So we're going to get it moved to second. Moved by Councillor Walker, seconded by Councillor Newstead. And I think it's been carried. Thank you. And we've got no confidential items. Any other general business anyone wants to raise?
Through you, Mr. Chairman, we do have a letter which was distributed on the earlier mortgages
Sorry. Okay, we've got a late item 14.
My apologies for that. For you, Mr. Chairman.
So the recommendation is we put this new policy on public display. So I'd like to move that. Councillor Walker, Councillor Bembry, thank you. Any questions of the director in relation to the policy?
One comment, I think, on the tenanted properties, I think probably we should be rewording that a bit. It says TCW will only restrict or disconnect the water supply as a last resort. And I know that's the feeling, but perhaps I don't think that we should be putting that in our policy. We should be following the procedure. At the end of that procedure, issuing notice of, I think it's an area that we start saying, well, as a last resort, we'll, you know, I understand it's a hard area. I just think we shouldn't.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, I accept that. That's a problem. That's a way to go. Recently, a large restricted discount program across the network. And it was quite successful. This new policy, and it's been a policy that's been under review for some time, is a new early intervention and late intervention program, which is currently being used by combined and planning councils. There's an agent out there who actually goes and makes quick contact with people early on to make sure that the debt doesn't become unmanageable. And then there's some late stage debts where we've actually taken legal action, and we haven't gone anywhere with it, and the prospects for the debtor are fairly poor. So late stage intervention is an attempt to look at what other options, financial counselling, social community support, provide some means for those debtors to try and recover to the point where they can actually make some payment process. As a final, is what I suppose you can actually sell the land after 5 years. There's currently legislation before the state parliament to actually change that to 3 years, which will give councils a lot more flexibility in that regard.
To me, I was thinking this highlights that needs that hardship policy. We should have that hardship policy in place, and a lot of these issues then be referred to the hardship policy instead of having a separate, they've got to work together.
Yeah, I agree, Mr. Chairman. I understand that. I appreciate that we're working on the hardship policy at the moment.
Yeah.
And a lot of, there's a few scenarios there. We'll try and come back to council in June with a hardship policy. Currently, we do it. We probably do it we haven't got a formal policy to do it, but if people approach us and they're having some difficulties, we certainly work with them to try the best way to recover that account. We've done that with quite a few people, and we enter into arrangements and we try to get people on direct debit, make repayments and so on. We do that, but we need to, I agree with Councillor Bass, we do need to have a formal process on that.
Well, I think this debt recovery policy should be definitive, and this is the procedure we take, and outside of that, then it goes into, if you're asking for hardship, then it goes into the hardship policy, and the hardship policy said to deal with it. I think this has to be a very straightforward process to be taken, take place through that.
The importance with the disconnection and the restriction is that the important thing is that you can do it at any point in the process. It gives you that option. And that's one of the things. It's handy to have that option, and obviously you're running into issues, obviously, too. We don't deal with tenants, so you do have properties that you've got tenants in them, and so it's quite complicated.
Mm.
Also, we do have issues sometimes dealing with real estate agents as well, because sometimes they're late in processing the accounts and so on, or process the credit, went to the wrong account or something as well, so we've got to work with them as well. I appreciate the comments you're making.
Thank you, Councillor West. Any other councillors with any comments on the report or the draft policy? Do we have that moved and seconded? Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. That closes the business of the meeting. I declare the meeting closed, and thank you for your attendance.
Thank you.